Morning, Coach. Just heard from Connor Hellebuck, obviously talking about his preparations right now, being a week away from the first preseason game there against Vancouver. What have you seen from your goaltender, and how have you approached this with he and Flats, and making sure that, you know, as you work through this long process here, that he's right where he wants to be?
So it starts, Brian, with that relationship between Connor and Wade. And they, you know, it's more than just they talk every day. We lay out plans of him understanding, Connor understanding what our practice schedule looks like, what we're trying to accomplish in each practice. We have days where Connor will just stay off the ice or stay rather on another sheet of ice with Wade. But him understanding the schedule going forward is a really big part of it. So he has his days where he can push. You can't stop every puck, and that's his personality. So we want to make sure that he peaks in certain practices, that he understands that, you know, today's a real hard day. The next day they'll work on something different. So communication is really the key. Wade knows what Connor needs. He knows how to facilitate it. We just want to make sure that, you know, when we check with him after, did he get what he needed that day? Is there something that he wanted more of? And Wade will, you know, he'll bring that up in the prep meetings for the next day's practice, certain styles of drills that he's looking for. And we just implement that into the program that we're running. So those two guys have a real strong relationship, and they speak the same language. So that is the critical kind of driver in terms of how Connor interfaces with the coaches.
Thank you.
Paul, Scott Billick here from The Sun. Hope things are well. Question about Connor Hellebuck. Obviously, he gets the recognition for the Vezina, but in your mind, given the season that you guys had, the games that he got you through at times, would you have him as a finalist for the Hart?
So, yes, we'll just fire that one out. We'll just leave it at that. But he's in that elite status. I think all of these Hart players, you know, they put a number of years together before you can have a good year, but you need to put two or three of those kind of years together before you start to get your name out there. I think Nathan MacKinnon has been dominant for a number of years. I think for that award, it's almost more than one season, because you can put up big points, but Connor's moving into the time where his name will start coming up in that. I think, you know, if it's not this year, next year, the year after, this playoff push year will have a lot to say in that. I've always felt that Hart Trophy wasn't necessarily for the guy who had the aberration great year. It's a great player that then had a great year, and you need to have a little bit of that foundation of a number of elite years under your belt before you get that where a great year isn't just an aberration. Everybody understands that's how good a player you are.
And it seems too with goalies that they need to have even better of a year. Like if you look at the history of the award, I mean, Dominik Hasek wins it 2 years in a row, but then has an incredible seasons. I mean, why is, maybe in your mind, you've coached for a long time, why is it so difficult for goalies to get that Hart recognition?
It's very difficult for you to put up the kind of numbers that you need to and not play behind a really good team. So the disqualifier is, yeah, he's got a real power. Yeah, he's got great numbers, but look at the team he plays behind. So you're going to need a guy for a goalie who plays on the perception on a weak team, but still puts up those numbers that are off the charts, which is hard for him to do. But I almost think that sometimes the goalies, their performance on great teams actually gets overlooked. I remember, you know, Dominik Hasek when he was in Buffalo, and he got recognition for being a great goaltender. It probably wasn't fully appreciated how good he was until after he left Buffalo. And then normal goaltending. It wasn't even poor goaltending came in. Normal goaltending came in. So I think there's some really great goaltending performances each year that we probably don't validate as much because they've got powerful teams in front, which again, goes to that goalie having that great year.
Paul, it's Paul Edmonds from TSN. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Paulie, how are you?
I'm real good, real good. Usually in the traditional sort of sense, you have an opportunity for 7 exhibition games, but you're only going to get one this time around. And as you prepare for that for next week, how is this preparation different in only a one-off game in a preseason schedule as opposed to the liberty of having 7 of them?
Right. So the interesting kind of thing is we're talking about the last game before you start meaningful games, right? So it's not just one. It's the last. Nobody wants to play the last exhibition game, right? Nobody wants to get hurt. They've already done their work. They got their touches. They just want to get through that game. These guys are going to want to play this game. You know, they were going to go through 14 on ice days, and I think we all feel it on the ice that we're getting to where we need to get to. We're starting to look the way we need to look, but they need the exhibition game to test themselves. And I'm sure Vancouver feels the same way. So this will be completely different in terms of, I think, how we view the preparation value. This is going to have real value in preparing your hockey team. It may not tell you exactly where you're at, but it's a really important, it's a real preparation step where, man, the last exhibition game was only important to that kid that was didn't know whether he was the 23rd on the list or 24th, and he'd go as hard as he could. But the older guys are just trying to stay healthy at that point.
And my follow-up to that is, when you look at it afterward, are you looking for how the team has responded and individuals in terms of their speed? Or are you looking at your systems play or all of it?
I'll be looking more for where I think the pace of the game at. So the first thing we'll have to value is, are both teams going, how hard are both teams going? And then how is your team able to handle that pace? So we hope that it's a high pace game, and sure it will be. Van will be ready. They'll need that game too. So we're going to look for how the individual now looks at game speed. The systems, we're going to have more practice day to work on that stuff than at any other point in the history of my career. Like, you never get this kind of block of practice time. I'm not particularly worried about that. This will be all pace and execution.
Morning, Paul. Ken Weeb, Sportsnet.ca. You talked about adjustments yesterday. We noticed on the closed circuit TV, it tossed a couple of wrinkles in on the power play one there. What's the value of having wrinkles, especially when you haven't seen this team for so long?
I think the driver in that, Ken, was boredom. We've run our power play 3 or 4 days, and the guys want to try stuff, and we like them to do that. So they're also now, I mean, I don't want to get into any of the details of how we're running this. They're starting to kind of explore different places they can go with their power play. You know that Calgary knows exactly who's coming off the bench first, where everybody's going to be standing, and how the puck flows, you know, how it moves through Blake Wheeler. They're going to have a plan for that. And you want to have another place to go if it's not working. And you want that place to be really, really effective. If it doesn't score you goals, you want the place that you take your power play to at least then let you return to your original spot and it be more successful.
Sure. It's some of that player contribution, or is that all coaches when it comes to finding those variations?
The puck goes in the net, it's the players.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul. John Mattis here from The Score. So you've led your fair share of NHL training camps over the years, and you've touched on this a little bit, but what's your messaging and tone been like this camp with the big pause and then the restart being so intense right off the bat? Is it different in a lot of ways than a normal training camp? Are there similarities?
Yeah, you know what? It is different. I would say the messaging would have started on the phone right over the last 2 weeks coming in. This one feels completely different, and it's not the fact that it's July. I've almost got the opposite. I was concerned coming into camp, not knowing what to expect, that we were gonna have a hard time grabbing these guys' attention, and then by the third day realize that they all understand we got to get ready for playoff games. So it's been far, I'm going to say, more focused than a normal training camp. Look, you got good pros, right? And they come into training camp and they've trained all summer and they want to look good. But a guy that's been in the league 5 or 6 years that's a good pro, he's not getting wired up September 17th. I mean, he's going to get a good sweat. He's going to build his body, but he's not losing any sleep over the next exhibition game, right? He's not wired up. This is a little, it's got a different feel, right? The guys, we run our power play today. They're shooting the puck different. They're trying to get sharper. They're faster. It's not just them. We want to win. They also, you know, these guys are proud guys. They don't want to embarrass themselves. They want to be ready to go. We're jumping into the playoffs. So it has a very, very different feel. And I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit more than I thought. I mean, I think of the whole camp, tomorrow will be the toughest day. Mentally for the players, you're at day 10. And if you go back to phase two, you're at day 13 with only one day off. So the wear and tear now is there. They also, it's like kind of Christmas Day, you know, Christmas is coming. So you're kind of looking past the day you're in. Tomorrow will be a tough day. And then once we come off that day off, I think it'll change gears again.
Sure. Just one other question. How are you handling the pre-scout? You've had about a month here. Is there such a thing as over-preparing for an opponent?
Oh, you know, 100%. Like that might be priority one. So we all have our networks. So when this thing comes out, you call your guys, other NHL head coaches or assistant coaches that you know, and you just start throwing around ideas. And the one thing that I would have left was you got to get your own team ready. I mean, you got to be ready, your team, because your pre-scout doesn't matter. The systems at the end of the day will not matter if your team can't play at the pace of the game, you know, and so your priority. And then we've always, you know, I go back to a game, and I've mentioned this a whole bunch of times, but it was a game at home against Columbus that we lost 5-2 a couple of years ago, and we didn't lose another home game for 2 months after that. We had gotten bogged down. We were slow, and part of it was our mental process. And we came off that game and went to a really clean idea of what we were going to try to do. Very simple, very fast. And we've done our pre-scout. We've looked at all the major systems. We've looked at Calgary's. But our focus is on us, on how we need to look.
Hey, Paul, Jason Bell for the Winnipeg Free Press. You know, there's no real template for what you guys are going through right now, I guess. You know, some teams are scrimmaging more than you, Paul. You guys have had the one. What's the rationale for working on drills and things like that as opposed to having more scrimmages?
Yeah, so we scrimmaged twice. We just didn't do it the way they did it, right? We didn't make it that part. We went 20 minutes full out yesterday. We'll scrimmage again tomorrow. So we'll have six, counting the exhibition game, in my mind. The scrimmages are really valuable if they're at a certain pace. And the minute that they come off that pace where they're – how do I explain this better to you? Like, hockey's not a sport you can play fight in, right? It's kind of like when you're with your brother, right? You start kind of just pushing, and the next thing you know, you're throwing haymakers. There's no play fighting in hockey. So you can go out and get a scrimmage in. But the minute it's not close to game intensity, I think it hurts you. So we're going to get, I would say, probably the same number of scrimmages that some teams will get in. We won't go quite as long. We won't go a full game. We've got three lines on each side. And then we only want it to a certain level. So we scrimmaged for the last 20 minutes yesterday. And I liked the level that we were at. Like, we were driving pretty hard. But I didn't have... I didn't say, okay, today we're going to scrimmage for 15 or for 30. I was just going to scrimmage until I think we've had enough. And we got to the point that I had liked it at 20 minutes and called it. So we scrimmage more than people would think. We won't have a scrimmage day, if that makes it. It won't be on the calendar.
Just a kind of a fun one. I asked Hellebuck about the testing and whether they get to watch the reaction of the other guys in the room and who's the squeamish ones and whatnot. I mean, Is this a test that they're sort of separating the men from the boys with this test? Because it doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun.
No, but we're coaches. So what we did is we did a pre-scout. We know exactly who gets it on the first try, who can put you down. I'm teasing. We've got great professionals here. No, it's not a lot of fun. I was amazed that there was that much room in the human head. There's probably lots of you think, hey, well, it's full of air anyway for you, Maurice. So I was impressed by how deep he was able to get that that swab in. But no, I wouldn't. You know what? When I do my last test, I won't be coming back for another one. That'll be it.
Paul, it's Sarah from TSN. Connor spoke today just about how he thinks that experience can play a bigger role in this sort of playing series and these upcoming playoffs, given all of the changes. How do you think that the experience that Hellebuyck has had in the last couple of seasons will be able to maybe benefit him going into a situation like this?
Well, we got a whole heck of a lot of unknowns here. But the hockey part in terms of what he does for a living won't change. So he's lived through, you know, four really, really intense playoff series with an awful lot of pressure that comes with it. So the most important thing we all do is perform on game night. So there's no uncertainty there. There's no unknown there. All the other stuff, we're all dealing with it at the same time, right? And it's not just the Winnipeg Jets that got a test every second day. I mean, everybody's dealing with those kind of things. But the hockey part is where so that might be something I see of this hockey team as much as Connor. With all of the stuff going on, you know, we can only have a certain number of people in rooms, which means at times we have to run the same video session three times. So there's all of these things that go on, but as soon as they hit the ice, it's back to normal. Like, that's the one place in all of this, standing on the ice, running a practice for me, these guys running the drills. That has been completely normal, and that's what Connor will find when he hits the ice. All the distractions will just, and it's just hockey, he just has to stop the puck. And I think he's got a lot of confidence, his ability to do that.
There's been a lot of discussion about the relaxing of the dress code. Various teams are approaching it different ways. Is your team going to have its own dress code, or have you thought about that and gotten that far yet?
Well, the interesting part about the dress code is it's part of the agreement, right? So I don't get to weigh in on it. The players will decide how they want to come to the rink professionally. Coaches are wearing suits, so. You know what, Sarah, I missed a year about 7 years ago. I went over to Russia to coach, and I came back, and everybody was walking around in jeans, right? I'd never seen anybody in the NHL wear jeans ever on the road, and now it's a different time. It'll be, I'm sure, there'll be some teams all wearing the same polo, and some teams will wear suits, and some teams will do what's right, whatever they feel is right. I won't see any of them at the rink before they get there, and I leave after they leave, so it'll be okay.